you know, over the years, it gets more and more challenging to do like a Thanksgiving sermon, an Easter sermon. There are more Christmas sermons, to come up with something a little bit from a different angle. And since I've been going through the Proverbs, these two verses today stood out to me. And somehow it seemed appropriate. I entitled the sermon today, Prosperity, because that's really something that we all share. We may not have millions of dollars in the bank, but we do have a roof over our heads. We have food to eat. We have vehicles to drive. We have lives that are basically happy. We have family. We have friends. We are just so blessed physically, emotionally, spiritually. So much to thank our God for this holiday season especially, but each and every day. But the question comes to mind is, how do we show that? And even in one of the songs that we sang, it was, you know, it's impossible to have the words to really say, you know, what we need to say in gratitude to God. But really, like that old saying, actions speak louder than words. It's how we live that shows our gratitude or ingratitude. And so as we think about Thanksgiving this week, we think about how blessed we are, we need to think about how that has impacted us as Christians. Because God has impacted each one of us in a way that He doesn't do for those that are non-Christian. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 reads, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." There's some interesting things about these two verses. One is that, you know, the reminder that stinginess, that's withholding unduly or unrightly, when there is a need but not being willing to meet that need. Being able to meet that need, but treasuring, holding on to what you have without sharing it with someone in need, you know, brings poverty. The world is full of people who are self-centered, stingy with what they have, not just their money, but their time, their talents. Don't want to share with anyone. They're just living for themselves and their own gain. But it brings poverty. Ultimately, it brings poverty. How many people have strived for riches only to lose it all? Or to strive just to get by, but because of their selfish, sinful choices, ruin their lives? But also, poverty comes in terms of relationships. How many potential friends are lost when someone is not willing to share of themselves? How many relationships are broken because someone is so self-centered that they cannot relate and get along and grow together with others around them? Any kind of stinginess harms us, shortchanges us because we shortchange ourselves. But these two verses focus more upon the positive, the gain. One who gives freely yet gains even more. You know, we gain for ourselves. When we are generous of our time, our finances, our love, we receive more in return. Maybe not from the individual that maybe we're trying to be a benefit to, but ultimately we receive more so that we can keep on being generous. That's one of the practices that Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian church and to others when there was a time of need, of famine in Israel. To be generous. God loves a generous giver. And He is able to provide for us so that we in turn can be generous. And I've seen this, and I'm sure you have too, over the years. When we give, somehow we don't go without. When we give, somehow God replenishes so we can keep on giving. Because that's part of the joy of life, is giving. And it's not just the financial. It's the giving of time. It's the giving of love and compassion. Sometimes we think in terms of giving as being something outside my family. But you know what? When Scripture says to love your neighbor as yourself, he's talking about our spouse. He's talking about our children. He's talking about our relatives. He's talking about our parents. To love one another. To have the time to be compassionate. So many families would be less violent, less troublesome, if they stopped individuals, stopped being selfish, and tried to think in terms of, how can I give to benefit? How can I serve to be a benefit to my spouse or to my family, to my kids? Because if I do it, it's going to return. Because what I give generally comes back. And if I give what's bad is generally going to come back on me. He goes on here. He says, a generous man will prosper. Literally what Solomon wrote was, a generous soul grows fat. That's literally what he said. A generous soul grows fat. Well, who wants to grow fat? But the idea is one of having so much, that one's cup runneth over, as a famous psalm says. God gives us more than what we need. That's what he promises us when we have a generous spirit in all aspects of our life. Again, not just the financial, but in all aspects of our life, we grow fat. Families that have a good home life, that where everyone loves each other, it's that way because they love each other and give of themselves for each other. And yes, as children grow up, they're going to be trying and they're going to, you know, push the borders and all of that. But if they know they're loved, guess what? That love comes back. Maybe not immediately, but in time. Because love generates love. We reap what we sow. He says, a generous soul who slakes the thirst of others will flow as water. That's literally what verse 25 says. NIV says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But it misses something in that translation. Literally, Solomon said, a generous soul who slakes the thirst of others will flow as water. In other words, as we endeavor to help meet the needs of those around us, we will become like flowing water, like a stream, like a brook, and maybe as a river, being able to give and to give freely. I always marvel. I love to look at rivers. Whenever we're traveling, we cross over a bridge. You know, we always refer, we've crossed the Susquehanna River so many times over the years. And it's always fun, whether it's further up north in New York where it's very much narrower, way down into Pennsylvania and on into the ocean where it gets really wide. It's fun to look at and to marvel that even at times where the water level is down a bit, it still flows. Where does the water come from? You know, the river doesn't worry about that. In some places, rivers do dry up, and then you find out, well, there used to be civilization there. The idea is things are always moving, but there's always the water. It's always there, and it's always providing. Sometimes it's not here, it's over there. Sometimes instead of being over there, it's over here. But it's always present. And what God promises us is that as we're helping others, sometimes it may seem a trial. It may seem difficult. It may seem like, oh, I really don't want to do this. And our spirit may feel a little dry about trying to meet the needs of others. But when we do, God promises us that we will indeed be replenished. So much so that it's just going to flow and flow and flow. And I'm sure we've all seen that. We've all experienced that. But sometimes we can get, like this world tells us to do, to think of ourselves and we forget about other people. We forget about the needs of those around us. We forget the needs of our spouse or our children or our parents. And it's easy to become selfish. But each time we do, as we all know, we become dissatisfied. Life isn't as much fun when we're focusing just upon ourselves. When we care about others, that opens up the doors for the floodgates, you know, to open, the water to flow from ourselves, and it comes back. If you've ever watched a dam, or ever been near a dam, or even better yet, the Niagara Falls, if you've been to the Niagara Falls, you know, you watch those falls, that water flows really fast. But if you get close enough, you're going to get wet. Well, when we are generous to others, we're going to get wet with blessing too. Because part of the reason for prosperity is that we care about others. We meet the needs of others as we can. I know, you know, in our day and age, we put a lot of emphasis upon food pantries and homeless shelters and things like that. And all that's important. But sometimes we can lose sight of the fact that we ourselves are to be generous and giving individually as we see need. You know, the Good Samaritan didn't see the man beat up on the side of the road and say, oh, wait a minute, let me call 911 and get some help for you. No, he helped as he could. When Jesus saw someone that was in need, he helped right then and there. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, we're going to open up a hospital first. You know, when he fed the 5,000, he didn't say, well, wait a minute, we don't have our food pantry set up yet. In fact, he refused to set up a food pantry, if you remember how all that reads out. He refused to do that. But his example was that as we go and we see the need, and not just of strangers, but even the people we know close, they have need. Maybe there's a coworker that just needs encouragement. Maybe there's someone who's suffering that just needs someone, you know, to lend a shoulder to cry on. Whatever we can give of ourselves, we can do, and we always feel good about it. The times we feel like, oh, this is too hard, is when we're afraid to go ahead and step out to give of ourselves. But once we do, we know we've done a good thing. And yes, there are people who try to con us, people who try to use us. You have to be smart, because that's what the Psalm says, or the Proverb says. Anyone who withholds unduly, that means if there's a real need and we decide, I'm not going to do it. I can, but I'm not. Well, then that's not right. But if there seems to be a need, but it's not real, then we have to be wise. We're told to be good stewards of what God's given us. So that doesn't mean we just throw away our money or throw away our time. We have to be smart and help people where they are as the opportunity arises. In Psalm 37, beginning in verse 25, David wrote, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. You see the attitude of openness to the needs of those around us. Psalm 112 verse 5 reads, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. See, that's thinking and being aware and doing the right thing. Proverbs 22:9 reads, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul wrote, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, most of these on the surface, it sounds like he's talking about financial, and in much of it, he is. But it's more than that. It's putting our hope in God. Because as Paul wrote, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, it's not like God's going to stop giving. He just doesn't do that. But as we share what he's given us, whether it's of our finances, whether it's of our time, of our love, of our compassion for others, If we just open ourselves up, God will continue to give. And when we come to Thanksgiving time, we need to realize and remember just how freely God has given to us. Not just through this year, but all the years leading up to now. To see that He provides. That we need not worry about what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. The Lord somehow provides. That doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing. No, we are called to serve. We are called to work. We are called to be responsible. But it's the Lord who makes it possible. The world would like to just sit back and say, oh, it's all me. You know, I did this and I did that. It's all me. Look how hard I worked. Look what I've accomplished. But as Christians, we know that what we can really say is, look at the opportunities God's given me. Look at the things that God's allowed me to do. And look how God has blessed. I never could have done all this on my own. I could never have done for others on my own. And yet somehow, as I've given, the Lord has replenished. And it's not that financial gospel you hear some TV evangelists talk about where, you know, send in $10 and in your mailbox there'll be 20 next week. That's not that type of thing. God provides in ways that are very subtle, but they're very real, and they're multifaceted. I guess the bottom line when it comes to prosperity is, don't look at prosperity from a worldly perspective. Look at what God is doing in you and through you. In the church, in the world around you, in your family. Look at what God is doing in you and through you for the good of those around you. Because you and I, we are God's servants. We're privileged to be His servants because that's what He gave us. Life. To live with Him now and forever. And so He's brought us together to serve Him. Let us be thankful for that. Let us be thankful for who we are as individuals and that we as individuals are privileged to be the servants of God, ministering to our family, our loved ones, and the lost world around us. Our commitment song is called I Will Follow. And you know, the chorus, little break there says, I will follow where you want me to. I will follow you. You know, it's easy to sing songs like this. You know, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, there's an old hymn that has that phrase, those phrases. It's easy to sing that and not really mean it. But I think when we think about this song, we can think about our own personal lives and where our real personal ministry is. And it's right where we are. It's right where we are. So, whether you're meeting with family or friends, whether you're sitting around a huge turkey or just opening a can of Spam, as I've said before, be thankful for what you are in Christ. And be thankful for the people that you're with. And the people that you know, and thankful that with the help of God, you can be a good servant of His for them. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing.